Gary at Fair Oaks.
Mrs. Gardner.
Well, Jerry, all ready to take the afternoon off?
Yes, ma'am. Oh, say, can I take that note someplace for you?
No, thank you. I'm going to put this up on the bulletin board. Oh, and it concerns you, Jerry.
Me?
I've just come from Captain Gardner's office. And on this notice is the outcome of the riding test for the polo team.
Can I see it, please?
May I, Jerry?
Oh, yeah. May I see it, please?
Yes, you may. But first, I want to tell you something, Jerry.
Yes?
Both the captain and Sergeant Alden deliberated a long time making a choice. It wasn't an easy task. Sergeant Alden praised the riding of all three of you boys. In fact, he expressed a desire to have all of you on the team. But of course, you understand there's just the one position open.
Yes, ma'am, I know that.
The men finally had to resort to writing the three names on separate pieces of paper and drawing the winner. So, you see, it was very fair.
I didn't get it, did I?
No, you didn't. And I'm sorry. But you still have a chance.
Well, I don't see how, if one of the other boys was picked.
Cully Newsome was the lucky one. And you and Paul Warren are next in line.
Oh, you mean the next time there's an open place on the team?
No, before that, Jerry. In fairness to you and Paul Warren, Sergeant Alden is going to break a precedent and give Cully just a couple of weeks' trial. Of course, if he makes good, he'll keep the position. But if there's a flaw in his work, you and Paul will be given a trial.
Now, I see what you mean.
You don't feel badly about it, do you, Jerry?
No, ma'am.
It says right here on this notice that you were all three judged equally in riding ability. So all the other cadets will know you didn't fall down on the test.
Well, better luck next time.
That's the way to talk. Now, you run along and take advantage of the afternoon. Have you made any plans?
No, ma'am. Lee and I are going to do something, but I don't know what.
Where is Lee?
He's waiting for me outside.
Well, don't keep him waiting too long.
Okay. Goodbye, Mrs. Gardner.
Goodbye, Jerry.
Oh, there you are, Jerry.
Oh, hi.
What kept you so long?
Well, Lee, I just had a talk with Mrs. Gardner.
Oh, I see.
And I found who won the riding test for the polo team.
You did? Who was it? You got it, didn't you?
No, I didn't. Cully Newsome was picked.
Oh, but you rode as good as he did, Jerry. Every bit as good.
I know it, and Mrs. Gardner explained the whole thing to me. Hey, where are we heading for?
Let's walk over to Mac's place and have a cold drink.
Okay.
But go ahead and tell me just what happened.
Well, Mrs. Gardner said that Sergeant Alden and Captain Gardner couldn't decide, so they wrote our names down on pieces of paper and had a drawing.
Mm.
Cully's going to get a couple of weeks' trial, and if he doesn't make good, then Warren and I will get our turn.
Oh, well, then you've still got a chance.
Uh-huh.
Oh, say, I heard something that might interest you.
Yeah? What?
Well, I overheard one of the fellas say that Captain Rowland is starting to line up the crews. Why don't you look him up and put in your application for coxswain of the plebe crew?
I will if you will.
What?
Well, why not? You're not going out for any other athletics.
Well, I'm just waiting for basketball, Jerry. I thought I'd try for the plebe basketball team.
Well, you can row, can't you?
I have a little bit.
Well, you're good and strong. What do you say? We'll both try for the plebe crew. Are you on?
Okay, I will.
Okay, let's shake on it. Put her there.
Right. Dugan and Phillips are the plebe crew.
That way we can be together and help each other. We might even get famous as a team.
Oh, there's nothing I'd like better. Let's make that our goal. You as coxswain and I as stroke.
But we won't tell anybody about it. It's just between the two of us, right?
Right.
Hey, look it. There's a birdcage hanging out in front of Mac's place.
Mm-hmm. That's his pet canary. He hangs him outdoors in the sun a couple of hours every day. Didn't you see him the last time we were here?
No, he wasn't in the store.
Maybe he had him out back in his living quarters. Here we are. Let's see if he'll sing for us. Come on, Duncan. How about a song?
Duncan? Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
That sure is a funny name for a bird.
You better not let Mac hear you say that. He says it's a perfect name. It's an old Scotch name, Jerry. It means brown warrior.
Oh, well, that's not so bad then.
That's a fella. You see, Jerry, sometimes Mac lets him out of his cage. And when he does, Duncan leaps around all over the store and pecks at everything he can find to peck at. He jumped on my shoulder once and pecked my ear.
Brown warrior fits him then, doesn't it?
I'll say it does. Well, come on, let's go on inside.
Okay.
Hiya, Mac.
I'll be right with you, lad.
No hurry, Mac. Take your time.
Hey, it sounds like Mac is building a house the way he's hammering.
Most likely fixing something.
What are you going to have, Lee?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe some ice cream?
Oh,
come on, Jerry. Let's go back and see what happened.
Okay, I'm right with you.
What is it? What's the matter, Mac?
Oh, I've mashed my fingers, lads. Really, give it a good one. Yes, sir, an extra good one.
Gee, I'll say you did. Here, you better let the cold water run on it.
Right, Mac. Hold it on the cold water.
Oh, say, that hurts.
Well, how did you happen to hit your finger, Mac?
Oh, I guess I had it where that nail should have been, and the hammer didn't know the difference. That's enough now. I'll just dry it off and forget about it. Turn the tap off, Jerry.
Okay.
Well, that's too bad, Mac. I'm sorry you hurt yourself.
No, it's nothing seriously. It's things like this that opens a person's eyes. There's an old saying goes like this. Misfortune is a good teacher.
Huh?
Yeah, yes, sir. You learn through mistakes. I'll be a lot more careful the next time. Yes, sir. A lot more careful.
Say, look here. What is this thing, Mac? Looks like some kind of a machine. And look, Jerry, it's hooked up with electricity.
Never mind. That's not for you to see. I didn't ever intend for you to come back here and have a look at it.
Well, what is it?
Yeah, tell us, Mac. Yeah, we've seen it already.
No, it's a secret, lads. And yours are the first eyes that have seen it.
A secret?
I've been working on that for a long, long time.
Is it some sort of an invention, Mac?
That it is.
Won't you tell us about it, please, Mac?
Well, on one condition, I'll tell you. You've got to promise me you won't tell one living person about it.
Oh, we won't, Mac. We promise, don't we, Jerry?
Sure we do.
Well, I know I can count on your words.
You bet you can.
Well, you're looking at a miniature model of what I hope will be the salvation of aviation.
I don't believe I get you, Mac.
That machine, as you call it, is the greatest need in aviation today.
Sounds interesting. But I didn't know you were an inventor or knew anything about aviation.
Oh, gosh, that's... I've been tinkering it for years on this and that, but I've got a real one here.
Well, what is the greatest need in aviation, Mac? What will your invention do?
It's a new kind of altimeter.
An altimeter?
Mm-hmm. You know what that is, don't you, Jerry? It's a sort of a gauge to tell how high an airplane is.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, how does your invention differ from the altimeters they have now?
Well, that's the secret. All the altimeters they have now give you the height from sea level.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
In other words, if you take off from an airport that's 500 feet above sea level and you fly up 1,000 feet, your altimeter would read 1,500 feet, am I right?
Yeah, I guess it would be all right.
Well, of course it would. But actually, you're only 1,000 feet off the ground below.
Oh, I see what you mean. Your invention will tell the exact distance between the ground under the plane and the plane itself, not the difference between sea level and the plane.
You're a smart lad, Lee. That's exactly right.
Yeah, but I don't see why that's so important. The aviator that's flying the plane makes allowances for the extra 500 feet and... Well, he can tell how high he is anyway.
Well, wait a minute, Jerry. I think I can explain that. Now, look, that's supposing the flyer doesn't know the territory he's flying in. In that case, he doesn't know how high the ground below him is above sea level.
Very good, Lee, very good. I couldn't explain it better myself. Of course, that's just an explanation. The real worth of my invention lies in the fact that we'll warn flyers of approaching objects.
Wow, that's perfect, Mac. You mean if a plane's heading straight for a mountain peak that it can't clear, well, your invention will warn the pilot?
Right. And at least that's what I hope it will do. But there's a lot more work to be done.
Tell us how it works, Mac.
Well, I guess you've heard or read of many airplanes running into the side of mountains and crashing, haven't you?
Oh, sure, lots of times. And I never could figure out how it could happen with all the latest flying equipment they're using nowadays.
Oh, it happens very easily. A plane can be flying right on a radio beam, thinking that beam is true, but it isn't. That's been proven. Because of electrical storms, those beams have been known to go off their course several miles. Now, let's suppose a pilot is flying 8,000 feet up and right on the beam. He knows there are no mountains higher than 6,000 feet on the course, so he feels very safe.
Mm-hmm, I see. But actually, he may be several miles off his course.
Right, lad. And off the course, there are mountains 9,000 or 10,000 feet high to the left or right of the true course.
So that's why sometimes you hear a plane flying right into the side of a mountain.
Yes, Jerry, that's the reason.
Well, now, tell us how your invention will prevent that happening.
Let me show you the machine here. Come over closer.
Yeah. All right.
Now, you see this little tube here with the light over it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's that?
That's the altimeter, Jerry.
Oh.
Now, here's how it works. The meter is lighted up the same as other instruments on the panel by a dash light.
And giving the true distance between the ground or the mountains below the plane.
Right, right, right. Now, if the plane is flying along, and all of a sudden a mountain shows up that the altitude of the plane can't clear, this light goes on and a buzzer rings at the same time, giving plenty of warning and plenty of time so the pilot can turn around or gain more altitude, eh?
Well, that's wonderful, Mac, isn't it, Jerry?
I'll say it is. Hey, but how does it work, Mac?
Oh, that's, you know, that's the secret, lads. Yes, sir. That's the secret.
Well, you've told us everything else about it. Aren't you going to tell us the principle now?
Well, I'll tell you this much. It's worked by magnet.
Well, what do you know about that?
Yes, sir. A magnet so sensitive that it will work at a great distance.
I think that's about the greatest invention I ever heard about.
If you can really get it to work, Mac, you'll be rich. Well, you'll make plenty of money with an idea like that.
Oh, perhaps, perhaps, Jerry, but that isn't why I want to give my idea to the world. I'm only thinking of the lives it will save. That would make me very happy. There's an old saying goes like this. Wealth rarely brings happiness. That's a true one, lads.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
You bet it is.
When do you think you'll have your invention finished, man?
Well, sir, everything is worked out now so far as I can go. My next step is to build a working model that can be put into an aeroplane and tried out.
Well, are you going to start on it right away?
Oh, I wish I could, lads. Yes, sir, I wish I could.
Why can't you? You made a small model. Oh. Now all you got to do is to make a bigger one.
No, it's not that easy, Jerry. No, sir. Not quite that easy. It takes money and lots of it. It would take at least a couple of $100s, and I haven't that much. Losh, I haven't half that much I could spare. A light purse is a heavy curse.
Well, isn't there some way you could raise the money?
Well, only by mortgaging the store here, and I didn't care to do that.
Oh, no, I should say no.
Well, come on, lads, that's old Mac's problem, and whenever Mac has a problem, he finds a solution. Now, you didn't come here to work out my financial troubles. You come here for a drink, huh? Come on up to the fountain and let me get your orders,
huh? Okay.
How's your finger now, Mac?
Oh, well, it hurts a little, but it's nothing serious. Yeah, I'll be forgetting about it in a jiffy.
Well, I think I'll take some ice cream, Mac.
Ice cream for you, Lee. Jerry?
Well, fix me up one of your special chocolate sodas, Mac.
Chocolate soda, right?
Uh-huh.
Say, Mac, have you talked with anyone about your invention?
No, you're the first ones to hear about it.
Well, look, did you ever think of talking it over at the bank? I mean, sometimes you can sell an interest in an invention and get the money you need to develop it that way.
Well, I've thought of that, but I've got to get a patent first, eh? Yep, you've got to protect it before you talk about it.
Hey, I've got an idea, Lee.
Yes? What is it?
I think I know where we can get the $200 Mac needs. I'm almost sure, and I'm going to do something about it right away.